coming today. Do you know we have a individual who may be a provocateur who has given us the information about the CIA being after us? I'm Charles Gary and Don Freed, and so Mark Lane is convinced of this. But we are not to be taken in easily. Be friendly and insist all smile to whomever they pass. If someone asks you how you like it here, say fine. So it wouldn't be any place in the else in the world. Have your own words. So I love it here. Think you're going back? No, I don't want to go back. That's the kind of thing no European see. People's National Congress, Dr. Forbes Burnham, our Prime Minister, do not call him Burnham, as one child did yesterday. Give him respect, our comrade Burnham, and call him that. And to say why you don't like the opposition is because once the wife of the opposition leader, Mrs. Janet Jagan, appealed to race, a panjat, which means vote your own kind. Now, I see a lot of people idling around. In front of the office steps, I watched for a good 15 minutes, somebody just standing around the office. There is no place to be hanging around. There are children going along here unescorted. There are people not working. I have been up all night. I still have my temperature, and I'm still doing my work. There's a lot of affidavits, a lot of things that have to be finished, a lot of questions that have to be answered. And I'm telling you, there's no way for rest. But it would look to me like, with all these people coming, you would volunteer yourself, and I'm asking administrators to get a hold of these people wandering loose, go through the houses, get them out, because this is ridiculous. I just walk along nonchalantly, poking one another like they have nothing to do when we've got our people's lives to think about, getting them to freedom. I took note for some time while I was working in the yard. I took note, and I'm telling you again that you will be brought up. If the fly swatters are not used tonight, you will be brought up, because everyone coming will understand the need to fight flies. The only one we don't talk to in the terms of socialist rhetoric is when the individual is there that is in question. I'll give him a great handshake. I'll give him a great handshake. The other, I will hug Charles Gary. I will hug. And the other women, I'll take their hands too. But the one man, there's only going to be several distinguished leading women in the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement and Charles Gary. It may mean that the culprit will not come in until tomorrow, but keep him in mind. If he comes in tomorrow, then you'll know exactly who he is. He professes to be very much sorrowful over what they've been doing, but he's a businessman, and he has said openly he doesn't like socialism. He isn't that fond of blacks, but he didn't like the kinds of things they were suggesting doing: murder, kidnap, and other such mercenary activities. He said it was too much for him, and he was scared till they got him on the airplane. He required accompaniment all the way on the airplane till it started for Guyana, and is now in the air for Guyana from New York. He is to be met at the airport, as already instructions have been given, and he'll be given protection there all the way. Also, the Ministry of Immigration, if there's any fooling around with the man, have already promised that they will do a fine search. If he has any tape recorder, it will not leave Guyana. If he has anything that is questionable, he will not leave Guyana. If he has a tape recorder, he will not leave Guyana, or a movie camera, or even his little candid camera. He will not leave Guyana. We should feel strong that we have that kind of alliance with people and that kind of unity with them, because we are not going to be caught in a situation where somebody's trying to use us, where they're playing both sides. And there's often, as you heard, the double agent. So there's not going to be anything for that person to see but happiness. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Again, I ask the teachers, if they will, for this day, to cut it short, and the much as the medical staff can, and the public services union, and the inspectors, to get over this place and look at what you think is an eyesore. Find if there's a urine smell anywhere. Do something about it. They were very impressed by our bathrooms. The Ministry of Health lady was very impressed because she said it did not have the odor that normally bathrooms do have. And they will be indeed satisfied if they are honest people. We presume that none of these ladies are anything but members of the Socialist Party, PNC. And I think that the provocateur will make it tomorrow. He will not be coming in with Charles. He'll be coming in with Don Sly, who's a little man who can always handle things. Ha ha. So, we will tell you more about the developments. But right now, I demand absolute work. There's so much to be done. There's so many eyesores. And I ask not me have to show you the eyesores again and again. Up around the entrance where you drive in, there could be something done. We could scrape off a part and keep the trucks on just one part of it, but not just all over the place, if we can. And if there's any way to put some beautification, even a little painting or what, goes a long way. A lovely painting that hangs on the wall of the kitchen, the dining entrance where it's screened. Something to give the appearance of youth and aesthetics and homey touch. So I'm asking now that every supervisor crack down. They follow your example. If you're not working and playing around, don't talk with them. If it's your time that you're doing something of an office nature or doing some particular work, do not let people come up to your office. They only use it, that's the only reason they come, to avoid work themselves. And we cannot have work being avoided these days. We've got to get on top of this thing, because certainly the CIA is going to step up every effort against our church in retaliation, though we will at least have a good image in America. They will know us for socialists, but the CIA is not going to be happy about the fact that four of their operators have been revealed. Stone, Deanna Myrtle, Jim Cobb, and Kahn, the man you would not know, who's high up in the Standard Oil Company, who made contact with the Treasury agents, and who was petrified, was moving furniture, as you remember, around his doors, and said he would be until that goddamn Chris Lewis was no longer around. So we have three people that had motive for murdering Chris Lewis. This man must know something about it. And we're going to see that he answers us some straight questions. And nobody can be straighter than Dad. We're going to ask who killed Chris Lewis. We're going to ask because we believe that's what happened. And the only hope is that he knows all the operation. We know he knows where the money comes from because he hired the public relations firm that started to tear us down just days after we appealed to Senator Stennis and the Air Force against the illegal act of Stennis sending two Air Force officers from Kessler Air Force Base with something that must have been an explosive to blow up our San Francisco church the day that beautiful black mayor, Unita Mae Blackwell Wright, was there praising socialism. Communist China, in fact, I think it was. All right, we shall give you a little bit of the news. We want you to keep up with the news no matter where you are and what you're doing. It's important that you keep up the news. I want to see, now when I finish this, that everyone has implemented my request. I want you to be sure that we're following that advice. I will not take laziness the next few days. We will be just as tight because these people all believe in structure. So don't think if this prick comes in here as an agent. He wants more from us. We can keep him out of jail. So he won't be having a word to say about our structure. And the women, they know what it is to be structured. They believe socialists should structure. There'll be no cussing by anyone. No cursing. We go and provide reading that tape. That tape should be played in the library all this afternoon until the guests arrive. We work 8-hour day. We have the best foods. We have meats, fruits, vegetables. Name some of the fruits. Plantain. We have pawpaw for fruit. We have orange, lemon, lime. Plenty of bananas. And we have okra. We have all sorts of beans. And we have all sorts of greens. Some of us can help you with that. It's on the tape anyway. And that you live in a house where you have four people beside yourself, or some people can say five. I'm living with a married couple who's retired, who has their grandchild with them, or an adopted child with them, if you name five. I don't think everyone should say there's just four in your quarter. So we're building more, and we will point them to the fact of where we are building more. But we want you to be sure that you listen to that tape. That tape may be played out at the finish of what I have to say, and then you be sure that you listen to it damn closely. That's the best thing, to play it out, and you better listen to it. Force yourself to listen to it, because if you make a mistake, you are hurting yourself very desperately, and you're hurting a lot of innocent children. Stand by. The last stage of monopoly capitalism, or what they call finance capitalism, and the major concepts at that. I want to dwell with the origins of words used for fascism in its different forms. Fascism as a more overt, blatant form of class dictatorship. Whom fascism serves. Why capitalism finally resorts to fascism. Is there a fascist ideology? The two sides of the ideology, the antecedents of the fascist ideology, and break that down, the things before that go before fascism, how the first fascist state came about, how Nazism arose, how Falangism, which is now the Christian Falangist of Lebanon and the Falangist Party of Spain. Franco was a close ally of Hitler. He called his fascism the Christian Party. Nearly all Christian parties are fascist, by the way, in the world. Nearly all of them, without exception. Only Ethiopia is the only one I can think of right now. How fascism spread through Europe. The future of fascism. The revival of fascism. And the reasons for the same. Fascism in the United States and Europe. Fascism in Latin America, the necessity of understanding all the various forms contemporary fascism takes and how dangerous. Imperialism.
Carolyn.
Imperialism, never content simply to develop. Never. Stand by just for a moment. I need to. Simply to develop diversionary theories to steer the masses away from the just struggle against oppression and exploitation, turns to torture and exploitation. That means using people, using things, using countries. Turns to torture and crime when the peoples rise up against the tyranny and the murders and the unfair court system and so forth. Then we find fascism coming. And it's important to know what fascism is.
Rising here.
It's like you're seeing in the postal offices, like you're seeing in the paper mills, and in the lumbering business, as also we're seeing amongst even police and firemen and coal miners. Well, fortunately, the big boss sellouts of the unions have kept the people from rising together and forming a general strike like they have in Peru and Colombia and getting nearly all their socialist rights, even though the military was a right wing. And that means a fascist regime. But when the people do rise up against the crimes that have been committed, when the people rise up against the tyranny it sows and it has difficulty maintaining its dominion, though the deceptive, through the deceptive classic forms of so-called representative democracy, fascism then is one of the systems imperialism resorts to. Humanity has known this barbarous and criminal system of oppression all of humanity have known this barbarous, that means utterly bestial, inhuman, and criminal system of oppression under a variety of different names. The first being fascism in Italy. Socialism, leader once, Benito Mussolini, was a socialist, but he allowed himself to rationalize the bourgeois life, and he was prejudiced against people of color and the Jews. So he turned away from fascism, which is really state capitalism, he turned to state fascism and state capitalism when he had been a socialist all of his life before that. No matter what particular form it has taken, because in essence it is the same wherever it is found, now or in the past. It made its first appearance in Italy. There it took the name and symbol used by Fascio, F-A-S-C-I-O-D-I, Combattimento, C-O-M-B-A-T-T-I-M-E-N-T-O. A lot of you are confused about fascism, and you have written me about it, and that's why I'm trying to give you, and I've written this thing up, a basic understanding of what fascism is. It's the last stage of capitalism, and USA is very close to it. It was fascism that took over when the people exposed too much of the corruption of the army. You saw them take over, ban music, ban everything, and put people in concentration camps, throw them out of windows openly. Fascism disregards all human rights. Well, Fascio di Combattimento was the originator of the symbol, set up by the renegade socialist Benito Mussolini, whose emblem was a bundle of rods, fasces, F-A-S-C-E-S, or fasces. Hence, fascism and fascist. That's how it started. Fascism made its second appearance in Germany, taking its name from the National Socialist German Workers' Party, Nazi, organized by former Corporal Adolf Hitler, who turned out to be a murderer. Hitler then controlled the German Workers' Party and tricked them by the use of the word socialist. Many socialists were tricked into following Hitler because he used the word socialist, but his real emphasis when he took power was on nationalism. And that's why nationalism is always the enemy of international struggle of socialism. Well, anyway, he took control of the German Workers' Party, then controlled the German working small working parties that were not so well organized. And he controlled, then he founded in Munich, Bavaria, by one Bretzler. Hitler became the party's top leader in 1920 of all labor class. It's a little difficult to read my notes. The third appearance fascism made was in Spain, where there existed two fascist-type organizations. Following the anti-monarchy, anti-kingly revolution of 1931, one of these organizations was led by the son of the military dictator who had ruled under King Alfonso XIII. This organization was called the Spanish Falange, F-A-L-A-N-G-E. The leader's name was José Antonio Primo de Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A. The other organization was called the Council of National Trade Unions Offensive, I-O-N-S. The two organizations fused in 1934, stand by for just a moment, and fused in 1934, and together took the name of the Spanish Falange of the IONS, I-O-N-S, which is now how its members came to be called Falangists. These were the origins of the names of the major fascist organizations in Europe in the third and fourth decades of this century, and they were always consistently Christian. Facing fascism further. Fascism is a class dictatorship with a distinct difference. For while capitalism rules through the classic dissimulation of parliamentary systems and the so-called three branches of power, although we're seeing in Washington more and more that they don't really have any power, they at least have the appearances of working through the institutions of the Congress and so forth, and through the executive, the president. But we find the executive, whatever he promises in USA, he does not get to carry out. Either he's a total liar, or he's a victim of fascists who threaten to kill him. So capitalism still works through, allegedly, on the surface, legislative and judicial, and democratic, so-called the social democracy concept, which you know as a socialist, international socialist, the major enemies of international socialism are Trotskyism, revisionism, anarchism, and social democracy. And the major enemy parts of revisionism is that revisionists believe you can do things gradually, that you never do anything violently, no matter how violent your oppressor, and that you can work within the system. That is why revisionism is so dangerous. Anyway, fascism exercised open dictatorship using terror, assassination, violation of the law, people disappearing in the night, never to be heard of again, and exploitation of man's basest passions. Fascism serves the interest of the big capitalist monopolies and their allies, the feudal landowners. It serves everyone of the rich ruling class, the feudal landowners, the monopoly capitalists. Fascism arises when the capitalists cannot continue exercising their disseminated dictatorship. They can't, in other words, go through the appearances that they do really have freedom. And they're about that point. It's been said by the president, he thought on one time he was going to have to put the state, the entire government, under the army, under martial law. He said that just a few weeks ago because of the postal strikes and the police and the firemen and the worker, mine workers are Nazism, N-A-Z-I-S-M, Nazi, or fascist movements, arise where the capitalists cannot continue exercising their dissimulated dictatorship, their appearance of democracy. From the beginning of the 20th century, the working masses began to rise in rebellion against capitalist exploitation. The glorious October Socialist Revolution of our motherland, Lenin, as we know, where it took place, Rossiya Avangard, in Russia, the advance guard, where that revolution took place. In that great October Socialist Revolution led by Vladimir Lenin. The glorious revolution accelerated the world revolutionary process. The workers had proof that the power of the bourgeoisie, the materialistic upper the middle class who think they're really in control, but they're still not a part of the ruling elite, like the Trilateral Commission, but nonetheless, they're part of the capitalist process. They've accumulated too many goods, too much money, while only a majority of them, and there's a mass, even in USA, that barely can make enough food to eat. The power of the bourgeoisie could be destroyed. It was shown. The governments of a number of European capitalist countries tottered. Several monarchies, kings and queens fell. Parliamentary rule, or rule by the so-called facade and circus of Congress, was no longer a sure guarantee. The monopolies and their administrative boards, which are the bourgeoisie governments, organized themselves to look for new and more drastic ways of fortifying their class dictatorship. Thus, in the years following the great October Revolution in the Soviet Union, 1917, there were a number of coups d'etats, that means overthrows, military overthrows, in countries where the crisis had become most acute for the bourgeoisie. Those are the rich ruling class. The richest of the bourgeoisie are called the monopoly elitist, the fascist elite. But the bourgeoisie are the enemy of the workers also. Where that difficulty of crisis became more noticeable and acute for the bourgeoisie governments, Bulgaria, Hungary, Italy, Germany, Spain, Greece, conditions were being created for the rise of fascism. Ideology, that means every point of view, is of a class nature. From this, one can deduce that if fascism is a phenomenon born of capitalism in decay, it must naturally sustain an ideology as corrupt and rotten as the stage the social class engineering it is passing through. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, comrades in Jonestown. Still, fascist ideology is an amalgam, a whole group of theories, which in contrast to that sustaining the bourgeoisie, when they are still not experiencing great difficulties in exercising power, presents itself more barefacedly, though nevertheless resorting to demagoguery, dictatorship of the worst form, and to deceiving the masses. A summary study of the doctrines and theories of fascism leads to the following points. Submission of the masses to the state, to the ruling group, whether it be the party or the military junta, that's a military dictatorship, we call juntas, J-U-N-T-A, junta, and to the leader, chief or Führer, that was Hitler's word, F-U-E-H-R-E-R, Führer, that means leader, the absolute denial of the role of the masses, blind subordination to the will of the chief. By the way, when you're speaking to socialists, you never speak in terms of crowds like USA does or mobs. You always speak of the masses of the working class. Otherwise, any Marxist would doubt that you know what you are talking about. The fascist state, as above all classes, class struggle is superfluous and harmful. The state, under the direction of the Superman, who is the chief, assures the general well-being of the people. In companies, the boss is the chief, whom the workers are obligated to follow and obey, like a dictator. If there should be a bad capitalist, it falls to the state to put him in his place, but it seldom does anything about its own boss managerial class. To hide the real lack of rights for the people, the fascists create the so-called corporate state. Necessary interruption to answer questions. Which groups, capitalists, landowners, peasants, and workers, are led by the chief? Though the fascists weren't the originators of the theory of racial superiority, it was the Nazis, Hitler's Germany, who were most developed the idea with their treatises on the inferiority of all people, black, brown, Asian, even those who were not blue-eyed, blonde-haired Germans. It was the Nazis in Germany who developed the idea with their treatise on the inferiority of all but the Aryan race. And that Aryan race included only Scandinavian people, the light-skinned, blonde-haired people of Germany, and he was kind enough to include part of England and part of Scandinavia. That's why Hitler was reluctant once to attack England when he could have defeated England. England had set him up by their very class consciousness, the equality of their class consciousness, because the English government was just as racist as Hitler was and just as anti-Semitic. A fascist theoretician even affirmed, the non-Nordic man is the link between man and beast. He is closer to a monkey than to man. He cannot be called a man in every sense of the word. This racist theory was not only used within the fascist countries, but served them as the justification for the conquest of other peoples. Another element of this theory is geopolitics, which on the basis of geography, position, in other words, population growth, and ethnic superiority, that means certain races or nationalities are superior, claim the right to expansionism at the cost of other principles to obtain Lebensraum, room, land, for their own kind. It's called Lebensraum. It's a German word. By the way, this doctrine of racial superiority put out by Hitler and his renegades was quite strange because, and it did cause some contradictions. Hitler was never too close to the Nazis. In fact, when the Allies invaded, they welcomed them as liberators because even Italians and Greeks, and Albanians and Spaniards are considered to be less a value as a human being. They are not Aryans. Hitler was a madman. If he had taken over the world, goodness knows what would happen. The exaltation of war as the natural state of man is an essential part of fascist ideology. The cult of fascist heroism comes from this cult of war, that is the readiness to die in wars of conquest. One of the outstanding features of fascist ideology is nationalism. Now, you all better be listening to this because you're all going to have to know this. This explains once and for all to the dozens that ask me, what does capitalism mean? What does it mean? Now, the teachers will break this down. They'll help you understand it. The exaltation of war as a natural state of man is an essential part of fascist ideology. The cult of fascist heroism comes from this cult of war. That is the readiness to die in wars of conquest. Unfortunately, some socialists that I know around here are not even prepared to die for liberation of other people. Fascists become blind in their worship of conquest. Comes out of the most uncivilized part of man's subconsciousness. One of the outstanding features of fascist ideology is nationalism. In its most corrupt form, chauvinism, racist intransigence, in other words, they won't give in, hatred for other peoples, preaching oppression and conquest. Fascist ideology is frequently masked in a social movement for socialism. It usually proclaims itself anti-capitalist. Its demagogy on this point has gone to great extremes. Another of its characteristics is anti-intellectualism. A Spanish fascist or phalangist general once said, "When I hear someone mention culture, I take out my pistol." The fascists substitute brutalization of the people for the reason and intelligence to which end, for reason and intelligence to which end they use all the modern methods of propaganda and publicity, resorting to repeated and bold-faced lies. There have been and still are the major expressions of the fascist ideologies modified to some extent, as in the neo-fascist, new fascist states in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. As regards the ideas of Aryan racial superiority, Mobutu and Pinochet are not Aryans, but they are still, or at least Pinochet is still in the fascist camp. There's some question that Zaire, with this treaty with Angola, may be moving out of the fascist camp entirely. Fascist ideology has certain historical antecedents, things that go before it. For example, the philosophical irrationality of Friedrich Nietzsche, N-I-E-T-Z-S-C-H-E. You can read him, then you'll know more about him. And his cult of the Superman and the superior race. The racist theories of Joseph Arthur D. Gobineau, G-O-B-I-N-E-A-U, and of Chamberlain, great capitalist, USA, part of the England, part of the one that tried to set up Hitler to kill off all the communists and Jews. And they also express themselves, their theories, the racist theories of Joseph Arthur D. Gobineau and of Chamberlain, social Darwinism, the geopolitics of the German Karl Haushofer, and other, that name is H-A-U-S-H-U-F-E-R. You better do some discussion with your neighbor and use some research in your library why social Darwinism, D-A-R-W-I-N-I-S-M, could turn into a form of fascism. Pretty easy if you stop and think. And other licensed thinkers who rose up against science and social morality and raised to the forefront the basis passions and instincts of man. The first fascist state, as I said, arose in Italy, the heavily populated country, which along with Germany arrived late for the sharing of the colonial spoils of the 19th century, emerged from World War I, though it was one of the winning powers, with a terrible general crisis of its economy. Often these crises that we're seeing now, runaway cost, low wages, high inflation, always lead historically to fascism. That's why U.S. is not far from a fascist dictatorship. Italy lost in that war more than half its navy. 635,000 people in World War I were killed. 500,000 were mutilated. And 1.5 million were taken prisoners of war. Its working class and peasantry rose up in a powerful mobilization and strikes in which millions of men and women participated. The Italian bourgeoisie, which wasn't able to benefit from the war, was extremely worried at the rise of the working class, the proletarian and peasant movement, the farmer movement. It was necessary to establish order in the country, to smash the revolutionary movements and create conditions for imperialist expansion. The Italian bourgeoisie relied on a small group of right-wing socialists expelled from the Socialist Party who met in Milan, M-I-L-A-N, in March of 1919, and who, a few days later, led by the renegade socialist Benito Mussolini, M-U-S-S-O-L-I-N-I, created the FASCI, F-A-S-C-I-D-E, Combattimento, C-O-M-B-A-T-T-I-M-E-N-T-O. This wasn't the only group of its sort at the time, since there was another group of war veterans organized at the beginning of 1919 as the Arditi, A-R-D-I-T-I, Association, Shock Troops of Italy. In the fall of that year, right-wing extreme poet Gabriele D'Annunzio, A-N-N-U-N-Z-I-O, organized a military unit of 10,000, closer to 15,000, Arditi, and occupied the Yugoslavian port of Fiume, F-I-U-R-F-I-U-M-E, Fiume. The rest of the fascist bands joined with D'Annunzio for the occasion. In March 1920, Italy, our Italian capitalist, meeting in Milan, Italy, a beautiful city, agreed to use the fascists, and they offered them all the economic support they might need. The government itself gave them arms and ammunition, just as I brought out last week. Our U.S. tax dollars, our government is giving arms and ammunition to perhaps the worst fascist state in history, except natural Nazi Germany. But our ammunition, the ruling class, our government's giving our taxpayers right now to Ian Smith in Rhodesia to bomb those children, their villages, bombing them with jelly gases, and he's giving, the U.S. government's also giving aid to Union of South Africa to bomb Namibia and Angola. This is the last stage, as I told you. They openly show their hand for how cruel they are. These bands then began their terrorist attacks in the rural areas, murdering revolutionaries. They moved on to bigger operations in the cities. In 1921, they had murdered more than 40,000 people. The Communist Party had begun to be organized by then, and the Socialist Party, which was strong, was controlled by conciliators, people who were trying to walk the fence. The fascist bands became a party at the end of 1921, and the next year attacked and burned numbers of places of work and offices. 6,000 people, communists and socialists, most of them died fighting them. The Pope gave the new fascist party of Italy its blessing, the Roman Catholic Church, as saying it was a great defender of the faith. Imagine how evil a church could call a people who had killed 40,000 people on one occasion and here 6,000 on another, working class, and say it was a great thing. Benito Mussolini's fascism was a great thing. It was a defender of the faith, the Christian faith. Since the fascists did not succeed in cowing the masses by terror, the big industrialists, big factory owners, and landowners decided upon a coup d'etat, that is, a takeover by force with the army. The March on Rome was organized under pressure from the capitalist King Victor Emmanuel III, handed over power to Mussolini, who formed a government. This is what will happen one day in Washington. It always works this way. In October of 1922, the most bloody wave of terror Italy had ever seen begun. Imprisonment, torture, and murder were systematized regularly in every jail, in every city building all over Italy. All the pro-worker demagoguery of the beginnings passed into history. They dropped their socialist mask and showed that they had been tricking the worker. Benito Mussolini was not a socialist any longer, and they tricked the worker to believe in socialism, and they ended up with fascism. The fascists trampled all social laws. They murdered socialist leader Matteotti, M-A-T-T-E-O-T-T-I, who had exposed Mussolini's deceitful and hypocritical actions and those of other fascists. Popular rebellion against the regime of terror failed because of the opposition's vacillation. They were back and forth. They didn't make a straight line. And indecision. Mussolini could then establish his unlimited dictatorship, which lasted from 1926 until his death, when the people became so wearied of him that even though Hitler snuck him out of Germany, some Italians bravely snuck him back into Italy, and they hung him up by his feet and killed him, and had all the masses look at him, because the Italian people realized they'd been betrayed. But they're no different than any other people. Thousands of nations through history have been betrayed because they don't think. There's a lot here that wouldn't know the truth, and until you know the truth, you never can know how to become free. Anyway, he dissolved all parties, Benito Mussolini did, except, of course, his own. He threw anti-fascists into prisons, coal dungeons, and concentration camps. He destroyed trade union movements. In 1930, don't even have to destroy trade union movements in USA. There are none. They've even now signed away their right to strike because of the big bosses of the unions, like the United Mine Workers, are a